This episode is brought to you by Fetch. Fetch is a kennel alternative right here in Denver, not a traditional doggy daycare or boarding school. They offer one-on-one private pet care for all kinds of pets, both furry and non-furry. And their employees are experienced, insured, bonded, and background checked, so you can rest easy knowing your pet is in good hands. Basically, they know pets. I used to watch a Burmese mountain dog named Sven, who was just like walking a polar bear. It was insane. Fetch offers pet sitting, dog walking, pet taxi, medication administration, and more. And he hated going on walks. I could like walk him around the block and then he was like, he just liked to lay in the bathtub. So if you're looking for high quality pet care you can trust, check out Fetch at northdenver.fetchpetcare.com. That's northdenver.fetchpetcare.com. Today on CityCast Denver, has the Mile High City lost its shine? We've got some new data in on Denver's population changes, so me and producer Paul Caroli sat down with the state demographer to dig into what the heck is going on and whether or not we should be worried. Today is Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about.
Elizabeth Garner, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Thank you for inviting me to be with you guys. This is exciting.
Yeah, we're excited too. And Bree, of course, is here as well.
Hello, hello.
So Elizabeth, we're going to dive into this big pile of data here about who Denverites are. But I think we should probably start by talking about the numbers themselves and where they came from. Do you want to explain where this data comes from that you spend your days looking at?
So we do a lot of different components that come up with that total population number. So, for example, Denver's right around 716,000 people. We start with a decennial census, and that's basically when you count everybody. On top of that, then, we get numbers for births. So then that would add to that population. We get our deaths. So that would subtract from the population. And then we get an estimate for what net migration would be, which is the flow of the ins minus the outs. Lots of different data sources that are used to help come up with that number.
And right now it all adds up to about 700,000 people in the county of Denver.
If you say 700, Denver will be angry. You have to say 716.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Do you hear from the city about that kind of thing?
Oh, yes.
Why?
Because they get funding is based on numbers.
Oh, of course.
There's also a little bit of competition between Denver and El Paso County, where Colorado Springs is, on the largest county in the state. So, yes, they care.
That's interesting. We got some stakes to this conversation.
Exactly.
Man. I love it.
You mentioned that the migration data comes from a bunch of different sources. And I'm just trying to picture, like, right now we're talking about folks coming from Venezuela. That's like a population that's being tracked and counted, or maybe you transfer jobs. So there's that paper trail. I'm just trying to figure out, how do we know how many people are coming in and out?
So we do a lot of different pieces. So one big piece is actually trend. We can calculate over periods of time using the two ends of the decennial census. You know, you can take that total population. We know what the births are, the deaths. We've got this since the 1950s. Hmm. So we know in general, for example, what kind of person Colorado or Denver migrates, basically looking at an age distribution. So that's one piece. Mm-hmm. The second piece is, like, let's say you did live in New York last year and then you moved to Denver this year. They would see a change in how you paid your taxes. You filed in New York, you filed in Denver. So they would show that migration from one place to another. We also use enrollment information into Medicare. So typically everybody enrolls in Medicare at 65. That data is really good. So let's say you were living in Denver, but then God forbid you move to Florida. They would show that Medicare record moving from Denver to Florida. So it is a bunch of different data pieces to help come up with that number.
You know, Bree, I don't think you know this about me, but it's come up a couple of times. I have to mention, I worked for the census
in
2010, the summer of 2010. Best job I've ever had.
Really?
He's a real census freak.
Incredible. Yes, I still think very fondly of it.
What did you like about it, Paul?
just meeting new people. Also, you're out and about in the city, knocking on doors. So like, and it was like,
so you were a census taker. The
mornings, I was. The mornings and the evenings is when you worked, because that's when people were home.
Yeah.
And so it was the summer in DC, and it was like, those were the only cool times to be outside. And I would just walk around the whole city.
Wow.
So did you like go to people's houses, and if they weren't there, you'd come back kind of?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, I had a very unpleasant experience with a census worker. But I just was curious, like, what happens. Kind of work you were doing for. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I got escorted out of a building once. A guy grabbed my shoulder. It was a very fancy building where rich people lived. He was like a security guard, and I was just like, you know, I'm an agent of the government here. I have to do this.
Yeah.
And he said, no, you don't. And he walked me right out.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to escalate.
So,
that
I
one.
Mean, these, I'm thinking of all these different instances where we might not be getting that data. But that's why you pull it from so many sources.
Right. And when the census itself is taken, it is a requirement,
right?
That you fill it out. You do have census takers go to doors that people haven't filled out the form. They try, I think it's up to 3 times, and then they'll use a different source, like a neighbor. Something mm-hmm. like that piece to
oh,
fill
to get
in
sort of
that
anecdotal or what gap. They might know about their neighbor.
Yep.
Okay, because it is. It's very detailed. It's like age of people, how many people live there. I mean, beyond just income and things like that. So,
oh yeah,
you know, and a lot of times, for example, if Paul had come to the door and just even knocked, somebody would say, "Oh no, never mind. I'll go fill out the form." You know, so
just
that
getting
he wouldn't have to necessarily take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
One lady invited me in for lemonade while she filled it out.
Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was not supposed to say yes, and I won't say what I did. But let's get back to the data. We don't have to get into that more. Elizabeth, tell us, what's the headline? The headline trend right now, Denver, demographics.
So I think one of the biggest confusing pieces for Denver is that what we've seen is that population growth has really slowed down, especially in Denver, and that we did see initially with 2020 and 2021 through parts of 22 that Denver was declining in population.
So it's official. It's declining.
The numbers are
the numbers showed
that.
A decline, primarily driven by net out migration.
And what does that mean? Can you explain
that? So
that
there were more people leaving than entering into the city. And we definitely thought that that would happen with 2020. With COVID, right? We saw a lot of people leaving city centers. And we saw that in Denver, hands down. And actually 2020, 2021 were much worse. Then you start to see it recovering in 2022, fewer people leaving. To actually, we saw a net in 22. And then in 23, we've seen a net in. Just it's not like it used to be. What people think is that, oh, you know, just nobody wants to be here anymore. And that's not the case. What we're seeing is that the in-migration, it is about the same. We're seeing an increase in the outflow.
Is there anything to contribute that to based on the data you look at? Like any one thing or something that is driving people out?
One of the bigger things that we're seeing is a net out of the older adult. So the 65 plus. We're also seeing a net out of young adults, like the under 18, or so we'd say children. Typically, those children are accompanied by adults, but the only other age group we get is the 18 to 64-year-old, so it's a big age group. So we know that families with children are leaving, but we also get a ton of 20 to 30-year-olds. That's Denver's bread and butter. If you were to look at their net migration profile, it's just a big column right between 20 and 30. We attract young adults here. It's just that we've started to see a larger number leaving. There's a lot of things that can, you know, drive that. One could be cost of living, but it's not everything. It could be jobs in different places. It could be that they want to join family somewhere else. And that's the one you hear from people more and more often is, hey, I'm having a kid. I want to be with my family. And so then they leave. I have met just even my own friends plus friends of my children that are leaving to join family.
Well, housing is a big issue. You kind of just touched on it. Let's get into that a little bit deeper. We always talk about how there's this housing gap here and the supply is not caught up to demand and rents are still pretty high. I wonder how you think about housing in connection with population trends.
They go together. And we got behind during the Great Recession. So really, if you looked at a trend line of construction of housing, you would really wonder how that industry ever survived and why people choose it as an industry, because all it is a long series of booms and busts. Now, granted, they're long periods of time. We had a bust in the late 80s that led into a big boom all the way through the 90s into the early 2000s. Then we had this dot-com bust in Colorado that was very location-specific. Housing industry takes a while to react to that. So they kept building after we saw a big slowdown in people that led us straight into the Great Recession. We were still overbuilding compared to population growth. But starting in about 2007, we stopped building. And not until 2017 did we see that buildings started back up. But between 2007 and 2017, we kept growing because during the Great Recession, there was nothing that stopped population growth. Certainly, the construction worker didn't have a job, but there was demand in health services. There's another industry called professional business services, one of Colorado's largest industries right now. That was growing. So we had the population growth. We just didn't have the construction industry. It was decimated by the Great Recession. The financing tightened up, and that left us without building. And then not until, again, like I said, 2017, 2018, did we come back. And actually, this is the part that's funny. You know, people talk about the problems with housing, but we've been building back at kind of our peak levels since 2017, 2018, above 40,000 a year. It's just taking us
to catch up.
Time to catch up. And so we are getting really close.
Interesting.
But it depends where. In Denver, we're getting pretty close. But if you go into some other counties, we're still behind. And a lot of it just depends on where did the building start back up. And Denver's been building a ton of multifamily units.
And there's some anti-growth sentiment and regulations around us and other municipalities that might be also sort of pushing on that, pushing back into Denver.
Or other places,
okay.
Right? So, you know, you do hear about that, the NIMBYism or the maybe zoning constraints. And it doesn't mean that the total housing wasn't allowed. It just might not have been in a certain area. And then it just pushed into a different area. So we definitely see like Weld County. They have been going gangbusters in terms of construction. You know, even within the Denver metro area, some municipalities more likely to embrace it versus some others. But all in all, you do see almost every municipality increasing in those total housing units.
Does it seem like we could be caught up anytime soon with all these folks leaving as well?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that by between 2025, 2026, the whole concept of caught up, which is hard to measure.
Yeah.
We could be there, but that doesn't mean we need to stop. That means we need to keep up with household formation every year, which really, if we can build in that 35 to 40,000 units a year for the rest of this decade, that would keep us on target for what we need.
You mentioned NIMBYs a minute ago and that anxiety over growth. I think that's a very common thing here in Colorado, especially for folks who've been here a while. I understand why you might not have a position on that question, but I bet you hear about it from folks all the time, people who are worried about growth. Do you have any advice for people about how to think about these questions?
So actually, this is where you guys come into play.
Okay.
I think communication is critical. But it's pretty complex to talk about The part that's really hard is that we are slowing down in growth, but people don't necessarily feel it. The biggest transition is one of the things that I mentioned at first, that we've got this older population that's aging out of the labor force. So I age out of the labor force. Somebody needs to take my job. I'm in love with Colorado. I'm not moving. I'm actually going to stay in my same home. So the next state demographer is not living in my house. So we have to find another house just for her because she's not living with me. That's not a new job. That's an old job. So we've got all of these folks aging out of the labor force at a faster rate than we've ever seen before, and they need replacements. Those replacements need housing. On top of that, we're growing jobs. So we've got about-ish, you know, the forecast for this decade is around 40,000 new jobs a year and about 40,000 retirements a year. That's a demand for 80,000 new workers a year. So we need those people. Typically, we attract them from out of state along with our own kiddos, and that's what people are angry about. So we have to describe it and say, hey, do you still want that nurse? Do you still need that home health aide for your mom? Do you still like to go out for beers in the afternoon? If you do, we need to be able to accommodate the housing for those people. So I think within a community that might be where the people that live there might be, do we really need more people? Is if you explain, we're going through a transition, we've got people aging out, we need people to fill these jobs, that then they might be more accommodating and understanding why we need people.
NIMBYism solved. There we go.
One of the biggest stories we've been talking about all year is this influx of newcomers from Central and South America. It's like a new wave of people, you know, it's a migration of people. It's not the first one to make up who we are as Denverites, you know. Do you ever think about that from the historical standpoint of who we are as a people together?
Oh, completely. I mean, that's because how we migrate people is then who we become later. So back in the 70s, and you can kind of tell by looking at like parts of Jefferson County, that was when a lot of Jeffco was built. You've got a lot of the housing units and housing styles that were very 70s were in Jeffco. So we can see when they came in here, and they were the young baby boomers because that's when they would have been in their 20s and 30s. We attract a lot of 20 and 30-year-olds. John Denver.
I was like, the John Denver effect.
John Denver did it, did a big piece, but we were also expanding the Federal Center at the same time. And that's why it was Jefferson County that also saw a lot of the growth and a lot of the housing going.
Job-wise,
because the Federal Center's in Jeffco.
Sure.
So we see that. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, we had another kind of big boom. A lot of our housing industry was booming at that time. It was following the 80s when things fell apart. We had the savings and loan and the oil and gas bust at the end of the 80s, which we had really depressed prices. So people are like, ooh, Colorado's now a bargain. Come to Colorado during that time frame. And that is actually where we saw a lot of international migration, especially from Mexico and Central America, attracted to fill positions in the construction industry. Hmm. Well, that was our largest recent migration of a lot of international folks. Now it's their children that are here that are having children. So they're the second and third gen of that group that came in the 90s that's creating the different growth around the state. But they're not international anymore. They were born here.
Well, Elizabeth Garner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed this show, why not take a minute to tell your favorite census worker about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye-bye.